Hey, welcome to Crippled System episode 321. My name is Andy.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Hey.
321.
I'm tired.
I'm sorry. I blame myself.
I just bumped my desk.
I blame myself for that too.
It's a slight earthquake. Okay.
Damn it, Nathan! Stop shaking, Nathan, or stop shaking Andy's camera.
Yeah. Oh, so I mean,
that feels like one of those shitty pay-per-view things. Like, give us $5 on Patreon, and you can control our cameras.
I remember there was a thing where like people were able to like play with a cat toy over the internet with a room full of like kittens. That was a big success.
You can buy those camera things for like $50.
Oh, ring camera.
Yeah. Well, it's designed for it's a combination laser pointer and treat launcher and webcam that has a phone app that goes with it. I thought about getting one of those for my cat for Christmas, but now I work from home, and also he's an asshole, so he does not get a $50 Christmas present.
He's a cat. Saying he's an asshole is redundant.
No, he deserves the reinforcement on that one.
Fair. He's double asshole.
Well, do we have anything to talk about other than the fact that it's a new year? Yeah, and shit's still happening.
Despite everyone's best efforts, we survived 2020.
Yeah,
although it's pointed out to me that the current year is pronounced 2021, and so every time we say it, we're admitting defeat.
Yep. I don't know. I'm still in the middle of the pandemic where time has no sense, and I'm not entirely convinced it's 2021.
I say, David, do you have anything that forces you to know what day of the week it is right now?
Well, the kids just went back to virtual school today.
Okay.
Yesterday. Yes, that was yesterday. So yes, I am. I have a few concepts of time here and there. But
yeah, because Liam was off last week, and I forgot what day of the week it was.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it doesn't matter.
I was off New Year's Eve, and then I was on call for New Year's Day, but nobody called me, and so I had 4 days off, and just the concept of what day it was irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last
and plus,
Wednesday
you're salary now, Nathan, right?
What was David saying?
Oh. I was saying last Wednesday, I legitimately, it took me several seconds to think about it and realize what day of the week it was.
Also, yeah, I'm salary now for the first time in my life, and it's weird.
So you can say I had 4 days off, and it's not a awful thing.
Yeah. But, exactly.
Yeah. But wait, before I say congratulations, are you at a job where salary means you work 80 hours, a week or else, or does it mean that you just get all of the benefits?
The latter of those two.
Okay. Congratulations.
He's not in IT.
Correct. I work a pretty consistent 40-hour work week.
Well, congratulations. If you are working consistent 40-hour work week, it is great to be salaried. If you're an engineer, it's often not.
I was very careful to dig into everyone who had my position to be certain that that was the case before I accepted this role. Because the janitor working overtimes, making 10 times as much as the CEO just because of, the way it works.
Yeah.
Maybe not the CEO, but the salary monkeys.
Yeah, I know people who have taken pay cuts without reducing hours due to losing overtime.
Yep.
Well, that and some companies tend to abuse their employees that are on salary, where they're like, "Oh, we need you to work 10 hours extra this week."
CD Projekt Red.
Well, just like about any AAA.
Pretty much any AAA video game companies which is. Awesome.
Speaking of which, CD Projekt
always seemed like one of the good ones, right? They were the one who, when they tweeted and stuff like that, they always talked about being, on the side of gamers and everything. It's like, yeah, that's true. And now it turns out you're also abusive as fuck, just like everyone else.
Oh yeah, I will have to track down a slideshow that a friend of mine in the gaming industry sent me from a manager discussing discussing management tactics within game development, and it is I swear the guy was completely serious, but it would be like what you would say if you were cosplaying Emmanuel Zorg as a as an engineering manager.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you lose all of your credit if you, you know, don't work the hours, you know. Yeah, it's a lot of horrible tactics that those type of companies end up using to abuse their employees.
And even like some of the good ones, like Raven Software is in town, and from what I've heard, they're one of the better ones as far as crunch. And I still wouldn't want to work there, just because I like having, well, I would say going home at night, but I like having something else to do at night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, we haven't even talked about Cyberpunk because that came out in between the last
it's
episode.
It's a shit
now.
Show.
I've heard
hey,
people
as long
on...
as you're playing on current gen or a decent computer, it's only bad.
I've heard it's decent. I mean, at least
it's
Brian.
It's glitchy as hell, but possibly good.
Well, yeah. Like, the problem isn't the glitches. Like, glitches happen all over the place. Like.
Not to the level of the PS4 and Xbox, whatever the.
Okay, sure. All right, that's a special case of bad. But like, I'm thinking for like when Horizon Zero Dawn hit PC, it took them like a month before anyone could actually run that without like Aloy randomly running sideways and stuff like that. Or... So you know, like that shit happens. But whenever you're doing a console port onto a PC or vice versa, but my problem with it is it's just badly written. And half the content they promised doesn't exist yet.
Hmm. I mean, it's like every single Bethesda game that was ever released on anything. I mean, no matter what made the company before it had, you know, who they worked with to make the company. Because I mean, Obsidian, they did put out Fallout New Vegas, but that was an S show at the start of that game too. Maybe the best Fallout game, as per what Nathan says, but it was. A shit show at the beginning of when it
Obsidian
came
is the only game company I know of that has launched four games that can run at launch and still around.
Yeah.
In fairness both ways, Bethesda released New Vegas. They did not make New Vegas, which is why it's the one that ended up being the most stable, but it started the least stable because Bethesda like almost literally kicked it out the door while they were still like putting the last screws into it.
And that's not even the most incomplete Obsidian game ever released. Knights of the Old Republic 2 literally shipped without an ending until they patched it. Like, it was game crashing at the end. Like, you could not complete it without patching it.
Chad asks if is losing your save file only bad for Cyberpunk? And he asks if they fixed it, if anybody knows.
I don't know. I sit on the edge and throw bombs.
Yeah, I don't... I thought about getting the game, and I'm glad I didn't because I would have gotten it on my PS4.
I look forward to buying a complete edition with the DLCs for $20
next Christmas.
Yep. Right?
Like, next Christmas?
That's the way to do this thing.
You're talking about the June summer sale is when it's going to go on Steam.
That's not going to be Game of the Year edition yet.
Correct. That's not going to be Game of the Year edition with all of the expansions and all that stuff. Like, the game will be on sale in the summer sale for like $15.
Yeah.
But it won't have all the DLCs. That's what you got to wait for Christmas.
They should call it expansions and extensions.
Mm-hmm.
For your customizable options.
Although I will say, like, I some of the glitches seem like features, not bugs. You know, like
I'm sure at least some of the glitches are because they had to frantically hack stuff out in order to make something runnable. And like some of these glitches are actually like half a feature that they didn't clean up right.
Sure.
How did they? I mean, the fact that they lied about the performance issues that were on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
More money, no problem.
Yeah. Well, kind of. I mean, that caused Sony, out of all the companies out there, Sony is steadfast against giving refunds.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's very unprecedented for them to do so. So CDPR did not expect that to happen, right?
Yeah.
If you assume that Sony stuck with the way they usually treat people and didn't allow refunds and said, well, it's your fault for pre-ordering a buggy piece of shit, caveat emptor, then CDPR is rolling in the money.
Yep.
I think they're still rolling in the money, to be honest. But.
Yeah. Sure, but they're at least, like, you know, they're – but it's like they have to use some singles to really stretch it to cover the whole bed, you know?
That's true.
But, yeah, the fact that Sony even took the whole game off their store entirely is is pretty crazy, considering even Sony makes money off of everything that goes through their store.
Yeah. And physical retail stores were doing returns as well, which anyone who's worked retail or tried to return a video game at a retail store knows they don't take back open video games.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They haven't forever.
Oh, come on. I once returned a copy of Guitar Hero and switched out after I accidentally jerked the cable and, like, scratched it with the laser housing.
Man, there's, I don't know where you were allowed to do that, but every store I ever worked, every retail store I ever worked with, Best Buy, Target,
the fact that Walmart was great. Everyone there for marijuana money.
Yeah, Walmart is sometimes will take stuff back that they shouldn't.
They're not supposed to.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the guy was so impressed.
Companies, you know, not just some random pot-smoking cashier who didn't care, but the companies made it official to take back these open video games, which they always claimed they couldn't, and they always said it was for piracy reasons and whatever. I mean, that's how bad it was. I can't think of another physical video game that was just universally refunded for people at a retail level like that.
Pretty close was Fallout 76.
Yeah,
no, Fallout 76. They just slashed the prices. Yeah, they just slashed the prices. I don't think you could take it and get a refund.
And I guess technically at the beginning of Fallout 76, the game was playable. It just had no content. I mean, it still had bugs and glitches. I don't know if they're at the same level as what Cyberpunk had. But
I think it tilted, right? I think it was 90% no content, 10% glitches, and each 10% of content they put in was another 10% of glitch.
I suppose.
Like, hey, we added this thing. Now you can pickpocket people from a mile away. We added another thing. Now every time you shoot your gun, your armor breaks. Like, every time.
Yeah, we added a save box, it deletes everything.
We forgot the concept of years existing. How the fuck in a post Y2K world do you program anything that doesn't function when the year switch is over?
Well, simple. There's programmers who weren't alive at Y2K.
Yeah.
Oh,
like, it is that fun time now. Like, there are programmers who weren't alive for Y2K, and there's people who are doing their dad's patrol route in Afghanistan.
Welcome to the Empire in Decline.
Yeah.
Anyway, didn't they accept returns for Battlefront 2 after basically the entire internet made a holiday of shitting on Electronic Arts?
I mean, EA did the bare minimum to get LucasArts to not pull that license. So
yeah, they ended up scaling back the loot boxes and the amounts and that and made it.
Yeah, because Disney said they had 3 weeks to fix it.
Yeah.
Or I think they were going to lose the license.
Which is a shame, because now when I play it, I just never feel any pride or accomplishment. And that's really what I was enjoying about it in its original form.
Well, you've never felt pride in your life.
You never wanted to get that pink Darth Vader anyway.
Oh my god, there's nothing I would want more than to play as a goddamn pink Darth Vader.
I mean,
Hello Kitty Darth Vader, come on.
Yeah, they don't.
A shit example.
Yeah, but you know that would be this money going into the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
That's a valid counterpoint. Yeah. Valid counterpoint.
Yeah, because they own all things there pink.
Yup.
Awareness.
I was just thinking about that the other day. Yeah.
Awareness.
Yeah, fuck that. Not Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Not funding to actually help stop it. Nope.
They spend way more money on lawsuits to sue people than they do on any kind of treatment or funding. I also
because if they solve the problem, then the funding goes away.
Like, and little shit that people don't even think of beyond that. Like, I hate So the whole thing's just an excuse to use tits to sell breakfast cereal, right? Like, they don't have a stomach cancer awareness month because the concept of your stomach rotting and killing you isn't sexy. But you talk
well,
about
it's there, just no one
hide
cares.
It behind a pink yeah. box, yeah. And it's sex selling in a subtle way. And you can see that with shit like you'll see T-shirts or whatever saying "Save the boobies," which number one, I get to say boobies, and you think that I'm being a decent person. Number two, fuck the boobies. I don't give two shits about the boobies. Save the human being who's attached to the fucking boobies. Cut the boobies off and throw them in the dumpster if it means the person's going to live. And they changed that. And the problem is it gets into people's heads. You get women who have breast cancer and men that have breast cancer. It's less common in men, but it can happen.
Yeah.
But you get women with breast cancer who don't get mastectomies because they've been trained to think their tits are more important than their wife.
Yeah, and I mean, then the Susan G. Komen Foundation is also terrible about when they have the support groups that people who are terminal from it just basically aren't welcome to because they're trying to be happy about it. There's also the secondary thing because you have men's rights activists assholes involved, and so you have a lot of people talking and a lot of funding for prostate cancer as a result. And I mean. So, I mean, I will say this, that my mother and my grandmother died of complications of breast cancer. But statistically, it is not nearly as big of a threat to women as heart disease or other serious issues. I mean, heart disease is the number one killer of humans, and we don't hear about that entirely in much.
Yeah.
But
when my dad had it, they basically said, yeah, they caught it early, and like everyone's going to get some form of cancer if you live long enough.
Yeah.
It just statistically happens. And
even amongst cancers, breast cancer isn't that high up there. It's sexy cancer.
Correct.
Yeah.
But like prostate cancer is the one where if they catch it early, it's like, this is the one you want to get. It's either that or non-spreading melanoma.
Yeah.
Colon's pretty good too, which is why I like that my company, like, colon kills way, like, it might be the number one killing cancer. It's way up there, but it's the most preventable one. It's just that nobody wants to get a camera up their ass because, again, it's not as sexy as talking about tits, you know.
I mean,
so people avoid getting this treatment and they die of a preventable disease.
I'm so glad Andy had that face and didn't hear what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you do?
We were talking about colonoscopies right when you came back with that grin.
Oh, speaking of colonoscopies, I'm eating a Jack's Pizza, so that's...
As I was saying, because of this, because the Komen Foundation is so good at PR and nothing else, we as a civilization vastly overspend on breast cancer research compared to the things that actually kill women. And then because we have men's rights activists that say, well, what about prostate cancer? Now we ridiculously overspend on prostate cancer.
Fuck that. Research pancreatic cancer.
Yeah. Pancreatic cancer.
Like,
I mean, we
make it so that isn't a 3-month death sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have done wonders for lung cancer by just basically convincing a lot of people to not smoke. But
the best way to treat lung cancer is to not willingly give it to yourself.
Yeah, it turns
like,
out.
What a concept.
I'm just saying, tobacco is really nice when you don't sleep in college.
I mean, dude, no matter what people try to claim, smoking's cool. Nothing looks more badass than the sexy person smoking, right? Like, super cool. It also flat out murders you. So you gotta weigh those options. Although a sexy person doing almost anything looks badass, but, like, smoking's cool.
Yeah.
That's the shame of it. Like, if eating carrots was as cool as smoking a cigarette was, the world would be a lot healthier.
No. My wife, who is a sexual abuse nurse examiner, just overheard that and chimes in. But she says she'll be much happier when NFL players are wearing purple to promote awareness of domestic violence, which NFL players unfortunately are more likely to be the cause of than the general population. Instead
NFL
of running
players
around
are
in
well
pink.
Aware of domestic violence. They know all
about
it.
You don't need to
it.
Raise the awareness of domestic violence in NFL players.
I mean...
People in the locker room, like, we're trying to raise awareness of domestic violence. Do I know about all about domestic violence?
I mean, I will...
Tricks?
I mean, I will say legitimately that the NFL, that it is a travesty that the NFL is not doing more about that, because high baseline testosterone values are strongly correlated with violent crime, and once you have elite athletes, you are talking about a large group that is primarily selected by blood serum density of testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's it's an issue, is that we're all just, like, brains. That's all we are when you boil down to it. And so, like, you can't overestimate the effect that it has on the things that we do, right?
Yeah, we are meat that produces our own drugs, and some of those drugs do things to both our ability to, our ability and desire to hit other pieces of meat. And
we are electrically charged jello molds piloting flesh mechs.
Yep.
But on the bright side, man, penises show through the clothing. Ah, CD Projekt Red.
Yeah.
That game is going to be giving us content for a long time.
Yeah. Like I said, I look forward to a stable version with a lot of content a year and a half from now. Like Brian and Chris and some people love Fallout 76 now, right? I've heard that Sea of Thieves... There's all kinds of stuff to do. You want to talk about game launching with no fucking content?
No Man's Sky. Shit.
Yeah, No Man's Sky is a completely different game than when it launched.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you still have to pay full price for it because they're doing the Guild Wars model, but, like, they've released 9 expansions for it.
The Internet a Historian video about the ingoodening of No Man's Sky, as it's entitled, is a really interesting video, and I really recommend people watch it. It's a great documentary.
Damn it, Andy, you're making me hungry.
You just ate.
I know.
Dan, you were going to ask a question before we started, but you said it was content.
Oh, yes. So, Nathan, did you hear that there's an entire elementary school up for sale in DeForest?
No.
$220,000.
Oh, my God. I should sell my house. That'd be amazing. I'll tell Raylene.
Hold on a second. Where is this? Because we've been looking at houses. Yeah.
Northeast side. It's kind of towards Sun Prairie.
Give me a second. I will... That's the wrong Reddit link. I will get you an address.
I mean, that'd be great, because it has to assume it has, like, a gymnasium. You got the whole cafeteria.
Oh, I think I just found it.
Fuck yeah.
4649 Willow Street, Unit 1.
Unit 1?
I...
Like, is the whole building unit 1? Do they have to give it a unit number? Do I not get the whole school? I better get the whole school.
Where is the... It's on a 2-acre lot. It doesn't have an estimate of floor space. Over 9,000 square foot and 2 acres.
Yeah. I wish it would give you the reason why they're selling it.
Asbestos remediation is expensive.
Yeah, probably.
The kids like it.
School districts might be getting combined or something, and so they don't need it. I mean, DeForest is a relatively small town.
Or it's officially now only virtual school in DeForest. Forever.
I mean, that's not going to be forever.
No, this has been empty for, like, 3 years. Like, this screams, like...
Decade.
Yeah, this screams New Deal architecture.
That might be the school that Raylene's kid went to. I'd have to check.
What a horrible nightmare that would be. By the way, your new home is your school.
You live here now.
Isn't that just the plot of Home Alone 3?
You know,
is Home Alone 3 the one where, like, oh my god, I've actually seen, like, Home Alone 3 and 4, and I don't even want to admit that.
There was a fourth one? I mean, honestly, I'm mildly surprised there was a third one.
There's a third one, yeah.
Culkin's only in the first two. Yeah, and they start replacing the bandits too.
Did anyone did anyone in the later movies eventually become president?
Maybe not yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, oddly enough, Hillary Clinton was in the third one, but no, not really. That just was a...
Well, yeah, the school was built in 1918.
Oh, I can't possibly have asbestos.
Yeah. Back then, they just packed it with wool for heating.
Morrisonville Elementary School.
Yep.
We could set that up as the new headquarters of Crippled System.
Man, the thing with buildings like that is, like, you could have, like, 30 people go in on that, and each pay just, like, you know, $9,000. And you'd each get a room. Like,
there was someone on Reddit legitimately talking about setting a commune up there. So
yeah. Like, I don't know how many classrooms it has, but you could definitely set it up with a cot and a TV, and I mean a full bed TV. You can put in partitioners. Yeah, you won't each have a kitchen, but you got a giant fucking cafeteria to just go down to and cook your food.
So there's a huge kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I already sent that to my wife. Every day. I already sent that listing to my wife, pointing out how large the kitchen was, because that's one of the things she wants in a house.
Yeah, you guys are legit house hunting, and that's not a bad price.
Yeah, yeah, I was say my like,
me, David.
1,300 square foot house almost sells for this. I mean, it's almost going to sell for this much, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, the difference is I have a house, so.
The other thing though too is how much does it cost to heat the place? Or to keep it cool.
Sweaters are pretty cheap.
I mean, the correct answer is you just burn the desks for a while.
Sure.
Like, if you're going to go hippie commune, you go hippie commune.
Yeah.
That's fair. Does it have a swimming pool?
Yeah, it's under the gymnasium.
Oh, okay.
But it has a playground.
Excuse me.
Yeah, nope. Now you're obligated.
I just love how it's dash beds, two baths.
No. Two baths? Only two baths?
1918.
Hold on. So are potentially...
I don't think the school is, but yeah.
Are the urinals potentially like what they were in like Uncle Buck? Like knee high?
Oh, I mean, it'll have one like that. Oh, man. I guess it would be more into junior high where you start having, like, locker rooms and stuff. They probably don't even have, like, a locker room.
It doesn't look like it.
Elementary? I think I...
There's not a lot of, like, elementary sports.
Sixth
you know
grade?
What I mean?
Sixth grade, I started doing more sports.
Yeah, junior high.
No, junior high is seventh and eighth.
You only had a 2-year junior high?
Yep.
Most places it's 1 through 5 elementary, 6, 7, 8 junior high, and 9 through 12 high school.
Oh, no.
It all depends on where it is. I know.
It depends on where it is.
What happened to me, where I went to elementary school in like near in Chicago and then Skokie, was it was elementary 1 through 4, then 5 through 8 was junior, then 9 through 12 was high school. So it's even split. So I graduated year 4. I started year 5. So I was in junior high. I was a big boy now. Then we moved from Skokie to Oswego, where 5th year was in elementary school. So I had to go back to elementary school, and it was just the most demoralizing thing.
I remember when I was in 8th grade, my dad almost got a transfer down to Plano, Texas. Like, we went down there, we flew down there and we're looking at houses. That's how close he was to getting transferred. And we toured the schools, and they're like, all right, so here's how the school system works. We have 9 elementary or middle schools in Plano School District. So then for 9th grade, we put all the 9th graders together just in one 9th grade only high school, just to let them all mix for a while before they split off to the 3 10th, 11th, and 12th grade high schools in Plano.
Why?
I don't know. But given that there were more 9th graders enrolled in that 9th grade only high school than the town I lived in at the time, I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, that seems like the legit worst possible way to do anything ever.
I'm really happy that transfer didn't go through.
Yeah, my school, basically 1 through 6, was all single classroom. And then 7 and 8 was where, you know, you had multiple classrooms where you had to go to, you know, one teacher to the other teacher, like high school. So that's how mine was. And then we actually, as freshmen or 9th grade, then that was actually at a different school. I was also a small town of Mayville.
Yep.
So what else do we got to talk about? There's some Kickstarter stuff?
Is there?
Was there?
Well, people are waiting for the Kickstarter stuff.
Oh, my favorite Kickstarter that's currently going on is somebody who is doing like a Hangman style game. So first of all, to play Hangman, you just need a writing implement and a piece of paper. But mm-hmm. they're selling.
I don't think you need the piece of paper.
You're right. You need a writing implement and a surface to write on. And that includes like a knife in your arm. Like any way you can have to record visibly for the rest of the players the progress they have made. The point is, you can play Hangman functionally for free.
Yeah,
but
well, the rope
costs money.
But
that they have for sale, and it's like $60 because it's like magnetic pieces where you put the head and then the torso and the arms. But the big nice thing is that all of the hangmans that you have are politicians. So there's an Obama and a George W. Bush and a Hillary Clinton, and they all have Zionist symbols on them because the person doing this Kickstarter is a batshit insane alt-right anti-Semite.
I was out, and then I was still in, and now I'm out again.
Well, you should be in on reading the comments. It's my favorite Kickstarter campaign currently going because it's insane that it exists in the first place. It's insane that it's still up. And the person running it is batshit insane and is arguing with people in his comments about how, you know, having Zionist symbols all on top of an Obama that you are literally hanging isn't weird at all. And it's totally worth $60. Also, he sells T-shirts that are anti-COVID-19 vaccine T-shirts as a tie-in product to his board game.
What's the name? Because I tried looking.
Hanggov.
Oh Jesus Christ! Ugh.
It is
the game humanity must play.
Yep, it is amazing, and there's a British version too that has Boris Johnson giving a Nazi salute.
Oh, wait. Funding for this project was suspended by Kickstarter about 7 hours ago.
Oh, they finally did it! They finally did it today! Oh, man. And he reached $700 out of his $27,000 goal.
He's at $758.
Yeah. Oh, they finally suspended it today.
Who the hell asked for $26,901?
My guess is, let's hit the conversion. It was a... So whenever you see something weird like that,
it was in pounds. Yeah, okay.
But even then, he was asking for 19,800. Why not just ask for an even 20,000 pounds?
Jesus.
Oh, but yeah, it is. It is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
he talks
amazing.
About, and if you scroll down, I like one of the stretch goals at like $150,000 or something because this guy really thought it was going to take off. $150,000. He was going to unlock something, and you can literally see the braids for the Hasidic Jew that it was going to be. Oh my lord.
Wow. If you guys want to go and look at this, you can, but holy shit.
I don't think this is going to exist by the time they
probably not. Yeah. And I'm happier. I almost didn't want to tell you what it was called because I didn't know the funding had been suspended because I didn't want a single person to ironically throw a dollar at this person. But the fact that oh my lord.
Wow. That's really bad.
It's extremely bad. There's a he was gonna have a
wants $37 for shipping too.
Yep. There's a toxic rat Fauci was gonna be another person, of course. You know, let's hang Fauci because he spreads these lies about the vaccine. He's controlled by the Jews. Holy shit.
OJ Simpson has nothing to do with that.
Oh my.
Because you were talking about the juice, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
It was white grape juice.
So the reading the comments on this thing has been my entertainment for like the last week.
Oh.
I'm guessing that things got purged because it's down to 43 of them.
Yeah. He probably deleted people and stuff like that. Oh, and only backers can post comments. That was not a thing at a certain point in time.
Uh-huh. That's probably what got rid of a lot of them. Good lord. All right.
I'm afraid to click that video link. Yep. All right, that was fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my favorite current. Well, I guess not currently going Kickstarter anymore. It's been suspended, so I have to find a new one.
All right. Well, congratulations. You've made Steamforge look like a well-run company in the UK.
During the Christmas sale that they were having, I wanted to comment so badly because the first advertisement I saw on the Christmas sale is like, get aboard the Steamforge train. And it's got, you know, a little train that's going by there. And you could check out our store for special deals on Dark Souls. I was like, is that why the Kickstarter was so late? It's because you just delivered it by train? Maybe?
Yeah. Have they even finished fulfilling that?
I think so. I'd like to think so. I could message James to find out if that's the case or not. Speaking of James, yeah, we need to get him on the podcast more.
We do.
He works, though.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Working's for losers.
Man, that must be cool.
You're too cool for school, David.
I mean, you're not too cool
for school. That's why you're going to live in a school.
Yeah. No, I mean, I, at this point, I think I am too cool for school since I have literally the highest degree that can be offered in my field.
David, it's okay. It's not a real doctorate.
Yeah.
He could start up his own commune.
Yeah.
His own teachings, everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he has the hair for Jim Jones.
No, I don't. My hair's too thin on the top to pull off the 60s evangelist preacher gel look.
After I feel like most 60s evangelist preacher's hair was too thin to pull off the 60s evangelist preacher. There's a lot of comb over going on there.
Yep.
Fair.
After the first weeks of dues, you can just get new plugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, other than Kickstarter, we came to this with a full agenda and everything.
No, I've got several recommendations. I can break one of them off to being a topic of conversation.
That works. I mean, we do have a bunch of zappity grumbles, but we've only been doing this for like 40 minutes so far.
Whatever. That's all right. Let's do some zappity grumbles. Somebody will think of a topic, or we can just, you know, it'll be slow lightning round. It'll be like ball lightning where it floats in the window and everybody points at it and it doesn't go away because that's a thing that exists.
I can do the Southern Facts segment.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Okay, so, it's been recently in the news that Mississippi changed its state flag to no longer include the Confederate battle flag. It does still have In God We Trust on it, so, I mean, they're still got...
It's an upgrade, it's still not
great. But it's
great.
An upgrade. But it's an upgrade. And Mississippi, and people have said, well, this is the last incidence of the Confederate battle flag in Southern flags, so this is a good thing, which some people say that it isn't quite true, because there are still many Southern states that still have that. Like, the flag of Tennessee is just literally a Confederate battle flag rearranged, that it's the same color and its star, and there is a blue bar bordered by white, sure. And it is just literally a Confederate battle flag just rearranged. The flag of Georgia is even better, because it is not the Confederate battle flag, it is the Confederate flag with an seal on it. I mean, literally the exact same flag with a seal on it.
Although, in fairness, most people don't know the actual Confederate flag. They only know the battle flag, so they're less likely to get upset about that. Ironically.
Or excited. Yeah.
Yeah, and the flag of Alabama is also based on a Confederate battle flag, just not the most famous one. But yes, those states, and especially Georgia, which, as I said, just kind of ridiculously is the Confederate flag, are still there. But we are so focused on the one symbol that most people aren't aware that the giant symbols of owning people are still flying over the state houses in many Southern states.
Listen, it's their heritage that they owned people and murdered Americans to be able to continue to own people. How dare you want to take that away from these people?
Yeah.
Interesting. did they change the flags from like when they became a statehood, or to be like Georgia's flag? I mean, obviously, it was one of earlier states. Did they, before the Civil War? But did they change it just after the Civil War to incorporate that symbolism, or did they have a different state flag before that? I know I could Google it, but.
Yeah, many of these state flags have changed a lot. Georgia's did have the Confederate battle flag until 2001, and I think the the current flag was authorized in 2003, and it is dead on the Confederate the actual Confederate flag. I mean, this was just the big brain play here. It was like, well, if this symbol is just too obvious and we can't get away from it, let's just take the actual Confederate flag.
Because it's ironically less recognizable and therefore less controversial.
Yeah. Alabama, as I said, let's see, when is Alabama? Alabama's was adopted in 1895. It is based off of a Confederate battle flag, but I'm not really sure it means that much. It means as much anymore, but still, we should change the flag. The Alabamans should decide to change a flag that is based on a Confederate military flag. And the flag of Tennessee was established in 1905. But the Georgia one is just fucking ridiculous.
I don't think they had a flag before the Civil War for Georgia, actually.
Yeah. Florida's flag is very similar to Alabama's, but as far as I can tell, because I do research about these Southern facts things, because the reality is worse than what you could just make up. Florida, though, as far as this flag looks pretty similar to Alabama's, but it is based on an older, much older Spanish design, whereas the Alabama flag is from a Confederate flag.
Well, interesting. Dan, were you bringing up...
I have the Zappity Grumbles.
I can check Twitters.
Okay. I'm also trying to figure out how to put one of these things in here because it's a picture joke.
You there can
picture page is less of fun. Picture pages.
Nope. All right, so Nathan, Aduro sent you a picture of the Masked Singer.
He just sent a what? I don't know what that means.
Go look at the text channel in Discord.
Alex St. John's ideas about game development.
Scroll down further.
Oh, I didn't scroll down. Oh, it's because it's a sewing machine called a Singer, and it's wearing a medical mask.
So
I get it.
Yep, enjoy that one. Next up, as a lapsed War Machine player, sell me on Brawl Machine.
What's that?
I don't know what Brawl Machine is.
If I remember correctly, it's basically 25 points.
25 points and everything is FA1, and you can't have huge bases. You can't have casters with telekinesis and a couple of other things that just don't work at lower point values. I know this because of the number of requests to implement it in Conflict Chamber, and at some point I swear I'm going to sit down and get that updated or mostly updated.
Yeah, I mean, I say none of us really play at this point, but it sounds like a good setup for 25 points. They pretty heavily tested it, so.
Yeah, it sounds fine. I mean, the people I've heard from that play it seem to be fairly excited about it. So, yep.
I mean, any format you can play is good as long as you are playing safely.
Yes, and
play online unless you live in a country where it isn't terrible and you can actually see human beings.
Yes, and if you live in one of those places, I am extremely jealous.
Yeah.
And just like send us a message and let us know if they're accepting Americans wherever it is.
God hopes they aren't. That's why they're open.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. What is the closest equivalent to a crippled system in Gwent, and when are you renaming the podcast to that?
I don't know what. What would it be?
I would happily
lockdown. But yeah.
Oh, actually, what's the damn Nilfgaard thing that Brian and I always bitch about, and you always defend?
Nilfgaard?
Yes, but
just
the
concept of mill?
No, that's the thing I love about Nilfgaard. The leader power where it's you don't have a leader power.
Oh, yeah, that's lockdown.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it's great. It's great. It's like, imagine if you had a warcaster in War Machine who had no spells and they had a feat, and their feat was your opponent's caster has no spell or feat during this game. This feat triggers before the game begins.
So Gorshade 1.
Or is it, yeah, Gorshade 1 with the upkeep still there. Mage Blight.
It needs to be upkeep.
Yeah,
it's Mage Blight with an upkeep.
Yeah, but imagine if that's the only spell he had. Like, it was Gorshade 1 with Mage Blight upkept for free the whole game affecting the table. Like, that's what this caster is. It basically just says, this game mechanic, fuck it. Oh, you built your list around it? Too bad. Because every deck in Gwent is built around your leader ability. And so Lockdown, and the thing is, it serves a valuable purpose. It's like dung beetles. Nobody likes them, but they need to be there, right? They have to do that. And Lockdown's great because every single patch, some leader ability is way overtuned, and it's just going to dominate the fucking meta. And then when we cry out for a savior, Lockdown is there to punish these people for building their meta decks around these leader abilities. And nobody appreciates it, but somebody's got to do it. Also, the most miserable thing in Gwent is a mill mirror match.
Yes.
Milling, I assume, is basically the same way as you do in Magic, where you're just causing a person to play cards.
There's two forms of it. There's the positive mill, and there's the new one that I'm loving is the negative mill.
That one's more interesting. Where you put more cards into their deck?
Yeah, the current deck I'm playing, so you start with 25 cards, and, you know, you draw 10 round 1. My opponents average out ending round 3 after drawing 6 cards with 19 cards in their deck.
Yeah.
So how does that help you win?
The way it helps is you put shitty cards. The whole thing is deck thinning, right? You have this deck, and things have provision points, which is just like points in War Machine. And so you have these good things, and you're trying to get through your shitty cards to draw your good cards. And this new Nilfgaard archetype is just like, hey, all these shitty cards, they're going back in. I'm just diluting your deck. Hey, these shitty cards I have, I'm putting them on your side of the table, and then they're going into your deck, like imposters and shit. So it's like you started with 25 cards. You wanted to draw like your 5 super important cards, but now you've got 35 cards. You're just not getting shit.
Well, and then there's a Nilfgaard guy that is every turn. So there's a new mechanic called Adrenaline, which basically if you have X number of cards in your hand or less, this ability triggers, which otherwise known as this is the only way to balance this guy. But he is Adrenaline 2, boost self by 1 for every difference in number of cards between the two decks.
So you just shove a bunch of decks into their card, and then on your third to last turn, second to last turn, and last turn, your guy's just like, Kamehameha!
On the third to last turn, I play him. On the second to last turn, I play the guy who clones his ability.
Yep.
And then I boost by 35 every turn.
Reverse mill is hilarious. I'm glad you're having fun with it.
Oh, it is so amazingly annoying. Like, I am actually shocked people don't rage quit more. Like, when you when your entire draw is 3 drones.
The worst thing about Nilfgaard, and I am a Nilfgaard main, but the worst thing about it is that they aren't good. Like, they're not overpowered, but they're oppressive and unfun, and people mistake that for being overpowered. So people always talk about how they need to be nerfed, and it's like they don't need to be nerfed. Like, they're actually the worst faction in the game, but they're just so fucking annoying to play against that people don't care. It's like,
well,
the Doctor in Dead by Daylight.
You need a blue deck in every card game, or it just gets bad.
Again, you know, you and Brian hate Lockdown, but the game is healthier because it exists.
I mean, and I don't always hate Lockdown. Like, every week, I have one or two throwaway Lockdown decks just to get my season things for the week, because it's inevitably some shitty Nilfgaard deck just to get out 30 artifacts or something. And it's just like, I'm not trying to actually win. I just want to play cards, so you're not going to have fun either.
Yep. I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me.
Yeah. It's so great. I remember during the reign of the great swords and stuff like that, it's like, well, this round I'm going to play 9 artifacts and watch you be really sad because you're just burning cards.
Oh, it's so good. My Kadaverin deck, it feels so beautiful playing against the Skellige Warriors, like you said, during the rain, because they just wanted to do damage desperately, and they'd just be discarding, and you just knew they were raging on the other end. Felt so good.
Yep.
I was gonna say Brian Kerr from our wonderful podcast
Brian
here.
Kerr!
They have Big Top Gaming up in northern Wisconsin. They generally do a lot of Brawl Machine games that they post up on YouTube and Twitch. So if you're interested in Brawl Machine, that's probably a good place to go.
Yeah.
I'd be interested, but we just don't play. I mean, we don't see each other ever to play.
I have a shit ton of Warcaster models, and that's just going to gather dust. Tier.
Yeah.
Second tier.
Zappity.
Rubber.
All right, let's make this one slightly more interesting. Which non-Dune movie coming out in 2021 are you most excited for?
There's non-Dune movies coming out in 2021?
Yeah, I'm with Nathan here. Can somebody like float some names of movies that are supposed to come out this year?
The only one I can think of, I have to go with Coming to America, because it's the only other movie I can think of that's coming out.
I know one. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Nobody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Nobody will probably be... Yeah, I'm interested in that one.
I'm interested in it. I mean, it's done by the stunt coordinators for John Wick, isn't it?
I mean, it is John Wick. Oh, Godzilla vs. Kong.
And don't forget, I mean, of course, Nathan's going to completely understand this one for me, but do not forget The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Never.
A.K.A. the Nicolas Cage movie where he plays Nicolas Cage, who is forced to reenact all of Nicolas Cage's greatest hits for the Mandalorian, who's going to kill them because he's a drug lord.
Yeah, it's almost like Jean-Claude Van Johnson, only with Nicolas Cage instead of Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, so they're not calling it The Suicide Squad 2, they're calling it The Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's like Predator versus the Predator, because it's not a sequel to Suicide Squad. It's just another Suicide Squad movie.
Matrix 4?
Yeah, Matrix 4 was supposed to come out around the same time as, what's the other one?
Bill and Ted 3?
Yeah.
Well, originally it was. Wasn't it like Bill and Ted 3, John Wick 4, and...
No, that's right. John Wick was the one that wasn't going to be at the same time. It was going to be Bill and Ted and Matrix at around the same time, but Matrix got delayed.
Mortal Kombat is coming out in 2021.
No, I'm sticking with, if I have to go with non-Dune, it's going to be Godzilla vs. Kong. Because even shitty Godzilla movies are amazing movies. And I've liked all three of the legendary kaiju films. Kong Skull Island kind of flew under the radar. I think not enough people saw that movie. That movie's great.
Yeah, Kong Skull Island is awesome. Ah, Ghostbusters.
Meh.
No.
I mean, I'll probably end up seeing it, but I just don't care.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies that we just don't care about, Nathan, did you watch Wonder Woman 84?
I did. It was, you know, I mean, I already owned HBO Max, so there was no reason not to watch it because I don't value my time.
Yep. So, speaking of which, can you collaborate this review I heard of it, which is the first, like, hour and 20 minutes is fine, then you spend the next hour wishing it would end?
I don't know that that's true, because the first action scene doesn't happen until an hour and 20 minutes into it.
Yeah. I mean,
it had two opening scenes, either one of which could easily have been slashed.
Only one of them should have been slashed, and it should have been the Olympics.
Between the two that should have been slashed, but you just can't have two. And yes, I would have preferred that one be slashed, especially because it didn't matter. They have a flashback scene to young Diana, and they're like, oh, you know, you can't take shortcuts to victory, and this will never come up in the movie because we don't understand how callbacks or Chekhov's gun work, so this entire scene is useless. The only way that scene matters is if you make it into a dad joke, because then the point of that opening scene is that cheetahs never win.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Then it matters to the plot.
What they should have done, and this is spoilers.
Not make that movie?
No. What they should have done for that opening sequence is they didn't have to have this silly little action sequence of just running around and jumping through hoops and et cetera, and little Diana cheats so she can, and then gets scolded by her mother. Or protect or whatever it is. But what they should have done is had her practicing in magic.
So she doesn't suddenly have a superpower in the middle of the film
that
she's never had before.
Yeah.
She uses once and it never comes up again.
Yeah, just practice.
I think Travis is about to come on here to yell at you.
Dude, that was a legit dad joke, Travis. Fuck you.
I didn't see Travis.
But that's the issue. The scenes need to justify their existence. And that entire Olympic scene, and I actually thought it was kind of a fun scene as far as just like action and people jumping and whatever. I enjoyed it as a scene, but it added nothing to the story. Nothing within it was called back to or affected anything. It quite literally did not matter. And if that's true of a second of your film, it needs to be cut, much less a 20-minute sequence.
Is it better or worse than the rape of handsome guy?
A 20-minute sequence where you have to have all the actresses speak with an Israeli accent because Gail Gadot can't learn to not speak with an Israeli accent.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Gal's perfect.
The point is, though, why bother having now Themyscira, everybody just talks with an Israeli accent. Like, they never did that to Arnold. Like, his whole village in Conan doesn't speak with Austrian accents. It just, that's what he sounds like. Why can't they just do that with Godot?
Or just do what they did for Mel Gibson, just dub her.
Yeah.
But anyways, like I said, is that better or worse than the rape of handsome guy?
That's a touchy, that weird subject. It's so weird. It would have been better if he was like a manifestation of him or something like that. Why possessing a guy's body and then just literally.
So for those who haven't seen the film, Wonder Woman wishes for her dead boyfriend to come back, which, listen,
80 years later.
That's fine.
It has been 70 years. You knew this guy for 2 weeks. Move on. Get laid. Like, for the love of fucking God. Like, why are you still holding a torch for this? This is pathetic. Not only just in general it's pathetic, but also a big sell of the Wonder Woman films is strong feminist messages. Well, bitch is obsessed over you for 70 years and can't move on and can't have her own life is not a strong fucking feminist message. But let's ignore that for a second.
But I would pine for Chris Pine.
Sure, I would too, but you know that's because I'm not a superhero. I'm weak. She should be strong enough to not still pine for Chris Pine, because that's a superpower, is getting over Chris Pine. But the point is, she wishes for him back. Like you said, just have him fucking appear. But Shazam! Now I'm here.
Yep.
Get on this dick. Instead, for no reason at all, the way it's fulfilled is quantum leap rules. So he takes over her body as some random dude. So now this random dude is being put in mortal danger. He's being shot at. He's being fucked. He ain't consenting. He's back there. Like, this is all weird. And all of these questions don't need to be into it, because the fact that it's quantum leap style doesn't fucking matter. Just have him appear.
Yeah,
why do you do this to your movie?
Yeah, there's no reason for Steve Trevor to
make it matter. Like, make it a big deal. Make the two of them like think about how this is wrong. This man has a life. You've killed a person in a matter of speaking. We can't go on like this. This isn't fair. Like, plot line,
or you know,
don't have it.
Yeah,
one or the other.
Yeah, it just honestly reeks of corporate saying that we want to have Chris Pine back because he was such a great part of the first one.
They wanted Chris Pine back because they guaranteed $10 million in box office revenue for having Chris Pine show up without a shirt on.
But you can have Chris Pine back without the weird quantum leap
body
shit.
Possession.
Yeah.
So So I mean,
Chris Pine, that's not my problem. The Wishstone bringing back Chris Pine is fine. The fact that your two heroes don't give two fucks about this man whose body they're abusing in many different ways is my problem.
I couldn't
also don't forget Chris Pine's a World War I pilot who knows how to fly a helicopter.
Well, obviously, all vehicles are identical. Not a helicopter, just a supersonic jet of some kind.
Yeah, a jet.
Because World War I biplanes are identical to, you know, everything.
I mean, no, I mean that's how it works. I mean, in the new edition of D&D, it's like all of the skills were streamlined. So I mean, it's just like pilot air. I mean, he has that skill, true. So he can do anything. That's how it works.
And remember, if you tell somebody that you are able to fly a plane, it makes them able to just fly like Superman.
Yep.
Well, she was like Spider-Maning through the clouds. Kind of.
What is she though? Because like, first she lassos a plane, and I'm like, okay, she's falling with style. She's Buzz Lightyearing it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that. But then she just like starts like adjusting her hands, and she's Superman flying. And I'm like, okay, I guess she can just Superman fly. But then she lassos some lightning, and it's like, well, now she's Spider-Man rules. And then she Superman flies some more. So I don't even fucking know. But it doesn't matter because she doesn't do it 20 years later in Justice League.
Also, I'd like to point out, if you all recall the two crashes of Boeing jets in the past couple of years that crashed because there was a failure of one of the sensors.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that there was a failure in one of those sensors is because there are two sensors, one on each side of the plane. And basically, when they added the second sensor, if they had a light that showed up or a warning that showed up anywhere that said, "Okay, one of the sensors isn't working," they would have had to have added like a page to the manual, and spent millions of dollars to retrain pilots to basically tell all of the pilots that, yeah, there's this light that says if two of these sensors that if the sensors disagree, this is the light that says sensors disagree, mm-hmm. And so their solution to instead of having the warning and basically having a method to tell all the pilots that, yeah, this is what this warning means, they just said, well, if they disagree, we'll default to the one on the right side. And that's why both of those planes crashed, killing everyone on board, is because they added two sensors and then said, you know, and it's like, it would cost us a lot of money to tell people the right way to do it, so we're just going to default to the other one.
Still better writing than the Olympic scene.
I thought you were trying
I'm just saying that is the level of technical requirements to operate a plane.
No, you just kind of feel.
You just flick a couple switches, and then then you get into the plane that's at a museum that's already fueled up and ready to go.
That's how museums work.
Because that's how museums go. Yeah.
It's like how all the weapons in the Demolition Man Museum were all ready to shoot.
That's true, too. Yeah, but that's a better movie. That's infinitely a better movie than...
There's a lot of good choices in Wonder Woman as well, which is why it's frustrating. Like, I do love that the final showdown is not just a punchy fight, right? I like that it was about hope versus desire, and, you know, hope wins out as opposed to her just breaking somebody's neck. You know, like, that's cool. That means they took the feedback that was the worst part of the first Wonder Woman, was that it just devolved to a CGI punch fight.
See, the other thing I really disliked about it, though, is you're relying on billions of people. You know, deciding that they want to rescind their wish. And we're going to full spoilers here, so sorry if you haven't seen it. It was for free if you got HBO. Whatever.
You would have watched by now.
Yeah. There are just billions of people who have to... all of them have to rescind their wish in order for things to go back to normal, that mm-hmm. is.
In Which, fairness, she mind-controlled all of them.
Nathan, because... I'm pretty sure that your wish to be able to piss on Miss McConnell while he was still alive would have survived mind control.
How'd she mind control? I didn't...
She mind controlled all of them because she used the lasso on Mando Man to communicate with everybody. And previously in the film, they called out that the lasso not only forces people to tell the truth, it also shows people the
mm-hmm.
truth.
Yeah.
So it meant that they all were shown that what she was saying, that they had to give up their wishes, was the truth. and that made it true to them.
Hmm. Feels bad.
The only way that it can work. Because obviously if she goes, hey, you know, hey, little Timmy, I know that you wish that your mom wouldn't die of cancer, and she's literally, like, choking on her own vomit right now while you watch and cry, but it's for the best. Rescind that wish. Like, yeah. I get that little Timmy's not taking that wish back. But I'm chalking it up to Magic Lasso.
I would have liked it better if it was one of those things where it had, like, a vampire effect. Basically, if you kill the head vampire, you kill the whole brood.
Oh, sure.
And that would have been much better if it would have had him
rescinded
his
wish,
and therefore it would have killed off all the others. And that would have been better.
Like, cancer aside, I can tell you as an Irish descendant that there's no way that an English person would rescind a wish for the Irish to all be sent out.
And vice versa.
That is a wish that is standing. And ironically, the Irish are also wishing to leave England.
But yeah, no, I would have liked that better for that part there too. It could have also had kind of like a redeeming quality for the villain of the story if he would have been able to be like, oh yeah, what I've done is horrible and I should rescind this. Instead, he gets to go onto a helicopter, just leave the scene and go meet up with his kid.
I assume he goes to prison or something. I don't know.
Although
he's rich, Nathan.
Kind of squandered that too. Like,
Nathan, he's rich. Still, he's rich. He doesn't go to prison.
He wasn't rich, though. Rich people go to prison once they're not rich anymore. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But they could have, like, had his son, like, use his wish for his dad to come back to him or something like that. But instead, his son makes a wish halfway through the movie that doesn't matter and doesn't affect anything, and yet they still kind of make it a big deal.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
All right, Zappity.
Fair.
What is the best way?
What was the actual question that we had that we just wandered into Wonder Woman?
Which movie coming out in 2021 are you most excited for? What is the best way to make my Riot Quest Kickstarter stuff arrive?
Patience.
Fund the post office.
I mean, yeah. I mean, the last
it's all shipped. Like
the last 3 years of re-election campaign has killed our post office. So.
All right, Zappity. All right, here's a fun one. What will be the first unexpected awful thing to happen in 2021?
I mean, didn't it? Oh, I suppose that was in 2020, technically. The new strain for COVID.
I mean, yeah, that's not really unexpected, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm sure there. I mean, I'm sure there's some. There are terrible things that have happened so far, but after this past year, our threshold for what is terrible enough to talk about is so high.
Who's? I'm gonna jinx the fuck out of it. Like, who's the current like most universally beloved person? Like a Mr. Rogers style. Like everybody loves him. Whoever that person is, they're gonna die tomorrow.
Well, yes, bro. There was a
Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is gonna die. That's my go-to.
He's already got the COVID and he's already betters.
Yeah, so he's gonna like a bus.
He had March COVID though. He had weak ass Australian COVID. So.
Yeah, he'll get the new British COVID.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Betty White was just posted in chat.
Yeah. R.I.P. Betty.
Yeah.
I mean, the Queen needs better and better
sacrifices
every year.
Queen's outliving Charles. Queen is outliving Charles just for pure spite. She doesn't want that little fucker to be king.
I mean, do you blame her?
From her to Will.
Like, she's right, though. Like, just
apparently, Dr. Dre just had an aneurysm.
Oh, jeez, Louise. Well, now I'm depressed, Zappity.
Yeah, one of my favorite wrestlers died at the end of the year. I've talked about him before, Luke Harper for WWE, otherwise Brody Lee for AEW, which was
MF.
Hmm?
An MF Doom.
Yeah, and that was actually the show that
they
had
in October. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, but no, with Luke Harper, though, they had a show for AEW celebrating his life, and that was probably one of the best shows I've seen for wrestling in in recent times. It was just really good. Played the old school format a lot by having everybody who was a villain on the show just get their comeuppance, because that's good wrestling.
Zappity.
Drumble.
Also, I know that David has to leave soon, so if he has a recommendation, we should leap to it.
Yeah.
All right.
If he doesn't, he can slink away, and we can just go back.
Yeah, I'm going to slink. Yeah, I'm going to slink away.
Well, have fun slinking, sir.
Yes.
I look forward to visiting you at your new school.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye. Yep.
All right. Should I start us from recommendations?
Unless there's more Zappities. Now that David's gone, we don't need to jump. I just wanted to make sure he got a chance.
No, we're good.
If the questions are all shit, we can move on. And I can go with the recommendation because it's actually related to what we were just discussing.
Nathan, you're not excited about No Time to Die?
Not after Spectre and Skyfall, I'm not. Especially Spectre.
That
movie was terrible.
Out of our circle of friends here, you are the proponent for the Bond films.
Yeah.
Like, I checked out right after Casino Royale, because the next movie was Quantum.
After Quantum of Solace. Yeah. Quantum, a lot of people poo-poo Quantum. I like Quantum fine, but holy shit, Spectre was...
I'll be completely honest. The last Brosnan movie broke me so bad, I haven't seen any of them.
Brosnan, I love Brosnan himself as Bond. Like, he fits well, especially in GoldenEye, because GoldenEye was written for Dalton and then acted by Bond, and that dichotomy worked really well. But
the first two Brosnan ones were fine, but after that they tanked so bad.
GoldenEye is one of the best Bond films ever. Like,
correct.
If people were to list their favorite Bond movies and their top two were the two golds, GoldenEye and Goldfinger.
Correct.
Perfectly valid, right? And then the second one was
okay. Was fine. Like, the villain was like kind of unique.
Blah. Oh my. Well, wait. Now I forget the chronology of the Brosnan ones. Which one had the Korean that they surgically altered to be a 6 foot tall white guy? Because God forbid
that was the last
Asian
one.
Actor. Yeah, that one.
There's zero redeeming qualities of the last one.
Yeah. Fucking. Oh, that one was so bad.
Did you hear about Army of the Dead? It's a Zack Snyder film. Zombie film.
No, thank you. No, thank you. So, my first recommendation...
Didn't he do Dawn of the Dead? The remake?
Yes. Yeah.
That one was good.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'll go with your recommendations.
I mean, it was fine. It was fine. It was more action-y than I like zombie movies to be. I like zombie movies to be slower and more pensive. I'm a big fan of zombies being a manifestation of the inevitability of our own mortality. So to me, like, the siege aspect of the Day of the Dead, is more interesting to me, because like, they're not fast. Mm-hmm. You could take one in a fight, but it doesn't matter. Like, we're just going to die, and this is a fact of life. And the morale and the wearing on your soul, that's more interesting to me than chainsaws.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really like fast zombies that much either. But
out for of the a fast zombie film, like, and you know, it's fine. It is a fine film. Like, I don't hate that movie. It's just not my style of zombie film.
Fair
enough. So I'm not excited about it, but it could be fine because Snyder can do that kind of film well. Like, that's where he thrives. So for people who like that kind of Snyder film, I'm sure that that's one to look forward to.
Sure.
My first recommendation is The Windsors. So we've all watched The Crown on the Netflixes, and we all kind of half pay attention. Oh, you've watched The Crown. You go watch The Crown. Everybody watch The Crown. And we're all tangentially familiar through the tabloids of, like, you know, Kate Middleton and Will, and now you got your Meghan Markles, and you got your Prince Charles is never going to be king because the Queen's going to outlive him and all this stuff. So The Windsors is a British sitcom It's got 3 seasons and they're only like 8 episodes a season, so you can definitely binge this fucking thing because they're only half hour episodes. But it is the adventures of the royal family, and it is the most mean-spirited piss take about these people that you could possibly have. Like, Harry is literally illiterate. Fergie is this desperate, like, party crasher who's trying to get any kind of attention she can get from her previous affiliation with the royals. It is just fucking hilarious. It is shockingly solid, and I highly, highly recommend it. I don't follow any of that stuff nearly as much as Raylene does, and I still was laughing my ass off, like actual out loud laughter, which isn't common for sitcoms, because normally they're just like sensible chuckles once or twice. Fucking laugh my ass off at the Windsors. It's super solid.
Does it have a laugh track?
It does not. It does not have a laugh track at all.
Weird British comedy that doesn't have a laugh track with it. It's kind of painful to watch, like, IT Crowd nowadays.
Yeah.
Because it has a laugh track there.
Double reason. That and the creator of the show.
Oh, I didn't catch...
He's a monster. So IT Crowd has one episode where, like, there's kind of a gag about a trans person. You know, there's a woman who looks like a man who looks like a woman, whatever. So it's definitely a trans thing. And somebody pointed out that this was a little problematic, and he decided to not double down, like 2 to the power of 57 down on the transphobia, to the point where he is now like a TERF, to the level that that's the only thing that defines him as a human being. Like, the actual like TERF fan clubs that like have t-shirts that say hooray for being TERFs, we love being TERFs, have told him to slow his roll because he's making them look bad because he's too TERFy for them. It's almost amazing that this guy has melted down his entire life just because he hates the concept of trans people existing.
He's criticized Rowling for
not being TERFy enough.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's a shame because I like IT Crowd, I like Black Books, I like Father Ted. This guy created a whole bunch of shows that I like, and now his only character defining feature by choice, he's eliminated everything else about himself. The only thing that he cares about as a character trait is that he hates trans people.
This is a train wreck.
It's a fucking, like I said, the fact that TERF groups have disowned him for making them look bad. It's like if you're like so alt-right that actual like open skinhead neo-Nazis are like, dude, that's a little anti-Semitic. Like,
that sucks. That's recent too. It looks like February and June of 2020.
After he got banned from Twitter permanently, he created a sock puppet account of a trans woman to go mock someone, calling them a traitor to woman, gay people, and yourself. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'm saddened.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, obviously, if you can, especially art that already exists and that you're not directly funding, you know, like I still own Harry Potter books, right? So if I wanted to read one of them, it's not giving a penny to Rowling. And
yeah, I don't read them anymore, not because of her beliefs, but because the first two are just badly written.
Sure, yeah, absolutely, and so are the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. But
they're better, I think, mostly because they're not being told from a 12-year-old. Yeah.
But yeah, and so if don't fund people like that you don't feel deserve your money. But on the other hand, also, like, I hate Polanski because he drugged and anally raped a 12-year-old. But if I watch Chinatown, it doesn't give him money, right? So I don't need to deny myself Chinatown. So watch the IT Crowd. It's a great show. Just make sure that you're not like buying a new copy that he's going to get a part of.
I say pre-played and secondhand.
Yeah. Heck, I don't know. I mean, depending on how extreme you get, like, if you watch it on Netflix, does he get a kickback? And if he doesn't get a kickback, does it still like show popularity and that increases the odds he gets a job in the future? I don't fucking know. There's no ethical consumption capitalism, as they say, but at least be aware of these people.
Yeah.
It's funny, and it's on Netflix, and even if you don't give a shit about the royals, it still has that, like, rich people out of touch. Like, it's kind of like the way I was I mentioned, I think, to Andy in Dead by Daylight chat the other day, but it's like Always Sunny if they were rich and out of touch instead of just being sociopaths. Because they do, like, just this dumb shit, and they're always, like, greedy and trying to, like, rip people off and stuff.
So So documentary. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. So my recommendation.
The actual royal family watches it and loves it.
Nice. All right. So my recommendation. If you are like many people, the last year has meant that you have, you know, started to look into RPGs in ways that you never have before, because like the only way we can actually game and socialize these days. So this is more almost a reminder than a recommendation. There's more to RPGs than just D&D.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, like the not just like, well, I preferred second edition. Well, I prefer fifth, and that's the schism.
Mm-hmm. But no, like my group, we've branched out and we've done a one shot of Call of Cthulhu, which was enjoyable. We're about to do the Fantasy Flight game Star Wars RPG. And it's nice also because you then also learn that every RPG isn't a combat simulator. Like, in our one shot for Call of Cthulhu, we got into a 2-minute fight and my character ended up in the hospital for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually do when you get stabbed.
There is a new IKRPG that's going to be going to Kickstarter soon. I don't know when specifically, but...
First quarter, I think.
But
yeah.
I mean, they're using D&D rules, but...
Yeah. Well, and D&D is fine, but like I said, it's just, you know, there's more to RPG than just that, and once you start looking at other systems, you realize, you know, how much D&D is a combat simulator with role-playing bolted on it versus some of the other things.
Mm-hmm. And there's, like, and it goes super extreme, like, mechanic-wise, there's RPGs that don't even use dice, right? That are just, like, cooperative storytelling mechanics. Like, there's something out there setting-wise, mechanics-wise, either or both, you can mix and match.
Yeah, and also, I'm not saying they're good or necessarily good or bad. It's good to play both, just because, like, I'm really excited for the Star Wars one, because that's another one where, like, combat doesn't matter as much. Like, my character barely can shoot a gun, but it's still fine because he can talk really well, and that should be enough to get through everything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I can't remember, just because, you know, it's been... Time has no meaning, and it was sometime last decade, and I don't even remember if you were on the episode, but the last episode that we recorded, I talked about the 2D20 system.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, you know, there's the different mechanics, and I like that one because the momentum mechanic means that non-combat characters can make your combat characters better by banking, you know, successes. I mean, but I won't rehash that thing. But yeah, no, I'm fully on board with you. Like, try other things.
Mm-hmm. And if nothing else,
even if you're the biggest, like, D&D fanboy on the planet, still try other things for, like, a little while, because worst case scenario, you'll find things you like about them and you can steal them for homebrews.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it.
Yep. The oddest game that I played outside of D&D that I enjoyed a lot was Tales from the Floating Vagabond, which is, I don't even think it has dice in it either.
One of my favorite RPGs that I played for a while back in high school, like, nowadays it would be something to do Kickstarter, but, like, it didn't exist. It was, like, a print and play, and you just, like, whatever the 1990s version of PayPal was, this guy, like, $5, and he'd send you the Word file.
Oh, so
it's
shareware.
So print it. Yeah, it was shareware. And it was called Inspectors, and it was a pun, like, Spectre in there was spelled like the ghost. And it was basically, like, you were Ghostbusters, but it was also a real-world-style documentary where you were all, like, recapping what had happened on the adventure afterwards. So the mechanic for the real-world thing was every person, like, a certain number of times through the session could say that they were doing, like, one of those cutaways. And in the cutaway, you could just say something that happened, and that thing happened because you said that it happened, and of course this is happening in the past, so you could just do crazy shit and just make it happen, and then the story would just have to warp around it. And the only dice rolls, the even beyond that, the core mechanic was the GM would just kind of like have the hook, and they'd start a hook, and they'd say, here's this report of this creature, and you'd go investigate, and like you do an investigation check, and if you failed, the GM would tell you what you found, and if you succeeded, you just told the GM what you found. Whatever, fuck it. You found out that this thing is allergic to pies. Okay, it's allergic to pies now. And then you go and do this other thing, and you're in combat, and you do a success. And if you succeed, you just say what happens. And the whole thing just boiled down, because at its corest root, that's all a dice check is doing. And it's just, they make them granular. Did you hit? Did you not hit? Did you do damage? Did you not do damage? And this game just took it to the nth degree. They're like, just, you tell us. You're in a fight. You passed your combat check. What happened? Just sum it up. That's the reality we live in. Yeah. And shit like that like goes extreme, but it's nice to taste.
There's a rule in the White Wolf games that it's like combat's been going for 3 rounds. Wrap it up. This is taking too long. Like after 3 rounds, you should see where this is going.
Fuck, even joke. So there was a joke RPG called Human Occupied Landfill back in the 90s. That was the book's worth reading just because it's fucking hilarious. The whole book is just like handwritten and like there's stuff in the margins. There's one page that actually has the like coffee stain because they wrote that page at an IHOP and their waitress signed the page too. Like it's a great book and it's hilarious. But buried in it is an actual game mechanic that I think is one of my favorite game mechanics in any RPG, which is they have like if you ever played Shadowrun, you have like your karma pool where you can like spend a point to do a rerolls, right? So this had they called it the Grace of God pool, I think it was, where the GM had a random number of points that they rolled secretly, and it was like D6 plus one or whatever. And during the session, the players could just cash in a point and to reroll their dice, but they didn't know how many points they had. So if they ever tried to cash in a point when there were none there, they got royally fucked because that was then the wrath of God because they pushed.
They called upon it too much. Yeah.
Yeah. And that mechanic is legitimately cool, right? And so I could read this joke game and still go like, let's take this into our D&D game. Why not add this mechanic, right?
Well, and like the Star Wars game has almost a version of that where the force points, there's light side points and dark side points. Yeah. You can use a light side point to make your dice better, and then it turns into a dark side point. The storyteller uses that to make their dice rolls better, and it turns into a light side point. And at like four places in the rulebook, there's like these big bold words of like both sides use these goddamn points because the system doesn't work if you're not both using them.
Yeah. I like how that it sounds like that's very close to the West End Games version of the game.
They've borrowed the good parts of all three previous Star Wars systems.
Okay.
And then it has a very unique proprietary dice mechanic where there's success and failure, but there's also like a left and right axis. So like you can do things. How well you do something and whether or not you succeed or not are two different things. So,
because that was like the kind of the cool thing about the West End Games things. You can actually go through the original trilogy and go through and like, this is where Luke used a dark side point.
Yeah,
someone when he grabbed the lightsaber from the Emperor, there when he used his force to pull it. That was him using
someone
the dark
did a
side.
Great write up of episode 8 of season 2 of The Mandalorian with the FFG rules, and it's just hilarious reading through it. It's like, I punch the dark trooper. All right, I do this much damage and blah blah. And they're like, you have to deal damage before any of those effects kick in. Oh shit. All right, I'm done.
God, the last episode was pretty good. Also decisive. Divisive, I think.
Divisive
would be the term. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying Sebastian Stan needs work.
After seeing somebody do a face
Man,
swap.
That deepfake look, that deepfake I know some is, people like the deepfake. I actually think the deepfake looks worse.
No. I'm talking to the deepfake of Sebastian Stan in place
Luke.
Okay. Man, because all they would really need to do, honestly, is just give him some context to give him more. Because Luke has more bright blue eyes than Sebastian Stan has. So
the big problem with Sebastian Stan is you have to like flip him off a motorcycle to get the scar right.
Well, I mean,
wah wah.
The force could heal that. That's fine.
It didn't.
He can go into the makeup chair for a couple hours before he has to go on set. Perfectly fine with that.
Use the motorcycle method. It works easier.
Probably less money. I have my recommendation. Do I? Do I have a recommendation?
Well, I can do my second one, and because David left, I feel like there's a recommendation slot I'll fill in while you think about your recommendation. Which is the 1977 Japanese horror film, and I put horror in quotes because it's not scary, House, which you've all seen like 10 or 30 seconds of it randomly online. It's just weird, random shit.
Is that the one where Hugh Lowry like yells at people?
Yeah, he was in this Japanese film. No, it is batshit insane. It is about 7 schoolgirls who are basically named like the 7 dwarves. Like the smart one's named Professor, the athletic one's named Kung Fu, the fat one is named Mac, which is short for stomach. And then there's gorgeous fantasy suite. The plain faced one is named Sweet, which is just a total, like, she has a nice personality dig. But they go to vacation at one of their aunt's house, and then turns out the house is an evil haunted ghost house, and they all die one by one. But it is, if you like David Lynch, or if you hate David Lynch, but you understand what he's going for and just think it's not quite there, and you're like, man, somebody who's better at this kind of thing could make a movie that could be good, you should watch House. It is insane in just the most delightful way. It's like a fucking fever dream, every moment of it. Like, the girl is telling the story of her auntie to the other girls, and in the film, this story she's telling them is shown as a silent film to us, the viewers, but apparently the girls hearing the story are also watching it as a silent film, because they're reading the silent film cards, like they're correcting the grammar in the silent film cards in the silent film that is supposedly just her telling a story on a train, but it doesn't fucking matter because none of this is real anyway, so shut up, right? Like, that's how the filmmaker does it. But
so on a scale of Dune to Swiss Army Man, where are we talking?
Yes. Yeah. It is... Like, imagine if Swiss Army Man was in Dune. Like, this, it is, I will go with Swiss Army Man. It's very okay. Swiss Army Man-esque. But it also has just some really interesting shots that aren't batshit insane. Like, there's one shot, scene they go to where the girls are just talking about some stuff. And one of the girls is looking at the other one just saying, you know what, hey, it's the smart one. She's saying, you know, without your glasses, you look really pretty, whatever. But the shot, the scene starts with a close-up of that girl's face, and she's closing one eye, then the other eye. She's just switching eyes back and forth. Then it cuts to a shot of the girl she's talking to, and it keeps switching the shot slightly left and right, because if you've ever, like, looked at something and closed one eye and then closed the other eye, and you keep seeing slightly different sides of that thing you're looking at, it was mimicking that effect because that's how the girl was looking at her. And there's no reason for that, except that it was just a really interesting shot choice to capture this thing that we all have done occasionally for no particular reason. Sometimes you're bored and you're just looking at a thing and you switch your eyes back and forth. And so this girl was just doing that, and they replicated it with the two camera setup of her point of view shot. So There's a lot of really interesting directorial decisions in addition to just being batshit insane. It's in the Criterion Collection, which means if you subscribe to either the Criterion streaming service or HBO Max, which includes the entire Criterion service, so why does the Criterion service exist? This is the hell world we live in now. But you have HBO Max, you have access to all the Criterion films, which includes House. But it is insane and beautiful in the best way, and I fully recommend it. Also, if you're a horn dog, it has a bunch of teenage Japanese girls naked, so yeah, Go for that too.
Then I would like to jump onto the back of your recommendation. I would also like to recommend House 2.
Different series.
Completely different series, and also didn't really matter because House 2 wasn't a sequel to House the 19th.
Nor was House 3 a sequel to House or House 2, nor was House 4 a sequel to House or House 2 or House 3. But House 2 does just have a great title. House 2, the second story.
Yeah.
That's a great...
Oh, God damn it! My headphones. My headphones just cut off.
Oh no, I can hear you still.
Oh, now it's back.
Tell us about House 2.
No, I was just joking there. Just looking it up. It is actually an entertaining film. No, it's entertaining. It's a bad movie to drink and watch.
Yeah, it has holy shit, why am I blanking on his name? He's in all the Pixar films, Ratzenberger. It has John Ratzenberger in it, and he's great.
Is he in it?
Yeah. Yeah, he plays an electrician.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's great. Like, they call me. He's like, well, here's your problem. There's a portal to another dimension behind this wall here. Just, like, totally, like, straight-faced. He's the best character.
I haven't... Nice. I remember watching it so many times on HBO back in the day. Like, I'm talking, like, the 80s, 90s and that. I don't remember the film at all. I just remembered I enjoyed watching it.
So, hilarious coincidence, a YouTube channel I've previously recommended, Scaredy Cats, which is the guy who also does Thought Slime. He does a horror movie review each week, and the last 3 weeks he's been doing retrospectives of the House series. So he did House 1, House 2. He just did House 3, like, today, and next week will be House 4. So, hilariously, you can just go refresh yourself by watching the Scaredy Cats reviews.
Yeah, I can check that out.
And that's actually why I ended up watching the Japanese House, because I've always meant to watch it. And he mentioned that House isn't even his favorite horror movie named House, because the Japanese one's better.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I would recommend, if you have a chance, to go out and pick it up. I think it's only about $100. It did come out this year. It's the TurboGrafx Mini. So back in the early 90s, there was a console war. There was the Super Nintendo and the Genesis. They were fighting it off. Genesis got CDs and stuff like that. The TurboGrafx was a far from
Christine.
Yeah, it was far from the fight. It was not really in the fight. In Japan,
it was the RC Cola of the Coke Pepsi Cola wars.
Yes.
It's like, I'm here too, guys. But, I'm not generic, but I'm definitely not a big boy.
But the TurboGrafx had a lot of really, really good games. It did really own the market over in Japan, where it was known as the PC Engine. And a lot of games that were on those were eventually ported over to Super Nintendo or Genesis.
I was really worried for a second, but actually, yeah, I actually recognize a bunch of these. For the era of console,
I can think of Bonk's Adventure, but I'm sure there's other stuff.
It's really known for its shooters. So if you like arcade top-down shooters, that's what the system is really known for. Like Blazing Lasers, Dragon Spirit. I mean, there's obviously Bonk's Adventure, and then Bonk's Revenge, I think, second one is in there.
Yep.
But it's got Bomberman 94, Bomberman 93.
Oh, it's got Rondo of Blood. Heck yeah.
Yep. And that is, if everybody is paying attention to their Castlevania games, that is the prequel to Symphony of the Night.
Yep. That's the game you play the last fight of at the beginning of Symphony of the Night.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you play Rondo of Blood. And that game itself is really good.
Yeah, and it was I think I'd have to double check. I think like you can get Rondo of Blood. Like I think it was on the thing that just came out like on the PlayStation last year. But prior to that, you couldn't get it in America because the version that came out on other systems was Dracula X, which was like a dumbed down version of Rondo of Blood.
That was the Super Nintendo version. Was Dracula X?
Was it Super Nintendo version? Yeah, Dracula X. Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, Rondo of Blood was only really available by the Super CD for TurboGrafx, which was the first system to have a CD attachment to it. Oh, there's Brian inviting me to Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
It is 8:15, so I gotta get rolling. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a fucking Splatterhouse, nice.
The only complaint I have for it is there are two games missing off of it, which should be on it, and that is Legendary X. Because it's a great side-scroller adventure game, and then Legendary X 2. They're, for some odd reason, are not on the Turbo Duo Mini.
I'm sorry.
But overall, the system's really good. It's probably one of the best wide selections for games out there. There's a bunch of Japanese games on it. Luckily, for top-down shooter games, you don't need to know Japanese. But they do have a couple RPGs there in Japan in Japanese, and unfortunately, you kind of need to know it.
Weeb harder.
Yeah. Otherwise, yeah, it came out this year. It's about $100. It's well worth it. It's probably one of the best built of those systems, besides like the Super Nintendo Mini. That one is easily the best one, but this one I think is a pretty close second.
Dragon Spirit is the first game I ever bought for the NES with my own money.
Oh really? That's a TG16 game. You should check out that version.
The only thing I really remember about it is that like you start like it has like the prequel like level at the beginning that's like whatever, and if you die in that, you play an easy mode where you're a gold dragon instead of a blue dragon. And I didn't understand that's what was happening. I just wanted to play as a gold dragon, and so I would always die on purpose, and I didn't realize that was the difficulty select for the game, was checking if you were good enough to play as the blue dragon.
Yeah. Yep.
Should I make you feel really bad, Nathan?
Sure.
That game is older than me.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking early 90s, so that's...
Dragon Spirit?
Yeah.
The NES version has got to be in the 80s.
Dragon Spirit, the original version, came out in 1987, a month before I was born.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, well. Good times, good suggestions had by all.
Also, I am going through the process of fixing my Turbo Duo. So it turns out that capacitors in an old game system that's basically 30 years old don't last very long, especially if the company that put it together skimped on the capacitors. So that's something I'm going to teach myself how to do is solder. That's what I mean, not weld. That would kind of ruin a circuit board.
I mean, soldering is just mini welding.
Yeah. But yeah.
You're putting heat to a meltable metal to attach two things to each other.
To
right?
attach metal things to metal things.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, it's just soldering. Just move slow.
All right. Well, that's it. That's what we call an episode.
Yeah, so, I mean, it isn't
the best
much
you're
one,
getting.
What
yep.
we say. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If it's not good enough, well, then you can just starve. There are children in China who don't even get episodes. That's a reference to when you didn't want to eat your food as a kid, and your mom would say that, you know, children in China don't, or Africa, or one or the other.
I'd want to ship it to them, but my mom never let me.
I mean, they also can't listen to this episode because, you know, Hong Kong.
Yeah, and just to double check that they can't listen to their episode, their president looks like Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, no.
I just wanted to throw out that he looks like Winnie the Pooh. He's a fat little bear.
Mitch McConnell looks like a turtle.
Oh, my God. That he does. That would be right. The saddest thing to happen in 2020 is Mitch McConnell living. Or 2021, I mean.
Like I said, this is just living proof that Wonder Woman 84's ending could not happen is because Nathan would not take back being able to piss on him while still alive.
Yeah, yeah. No matter what lasso of truth she was using, that wish is not coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
He would be installed in my house as a toilet.
All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. See if we can try to be on.
We'll be
more
back at some
schedule.
Point. Yeah.
For legal purposes, that was a joke.
Thanks for watching.
Not the being back part. That part's not a joke.
All right.
It's a threat.
Do you still want to dig anymore? Sure, stop this.
No, that wasn't a Mitch McConnell threat. That was a threat to our listeners that we were going to do another episode. It was a joke that our quality is so bad that it wasn't a promise because they wouldn't want another episode. You see, that was the crux of the humor. I could explain further if you'd like.
Nope, it's all good. Thanks for watching. See you later.
Yep. See you next time, or else.